Hello and happy Bloomsday to all our listeners out there. Welcome to the latest podcast from Far Off Places, a magazine of written whimsy. We're doing something a little different today. It's 110 years since James Joyce's creations Stephen Dedalus and Leopold Bloom wandered through Dublin in a series of misadventures immortalised in Ulysses. In honour of the occasion, instead of showcasing poetry and prose from Far Off Places, we decided to bring you the final pages of Ulysses. Don't worry, this is a novel without much of a plot, so if the modernist epic is on your to-read list, then we won't be revealing any spoilers. Before we start, just to remind you, Far Off Places is still looking for poetry, prose and drama on the theme of the Second Breakfast. The deadline is the 30th of June, so do check out our submission guidelines at faroffplaces.org/submissions and get writing. So, as I said, these are the last few pages of Ulysses. The speaker is Molly Bloom, Leopold's long-suffering wife. He's woken her up, coming back in the night, and bringing young Stephen Dedalus home with him, and she's lying in bed trying to get back to sleep, and really not that impressed that Bloom seems to have asked her to cook him breakfast in the morning, so the theme of the second breakfast isn't too far away. But now, if you're sitting comfortably, then I'll begin. Oh, move over, you big carcass. Out of that, for the love of Mike, listen to him. The winds that waft my sighs to thee, so well he may sleep and sigh, the great suggested on Poldo de la Fiora. If he knew how he came out on the cards this morning, he'd have something to sigh for. A dark man in some perplexity. Between 2 sevens too, in prison, for Lord knows what he does that I don't know. And I'm to be slouching around down in the kitchen to get his lordship his breakfast while he's rolled up like a mummy. Will I indeed? Did you ever see me running? I'd just like to see myself at it. Show them attention and they treat you like dirt. I don't care what anybody says. It'd be much better for the world to be governed by the women in it. You wouldn't see women going and killing one another and slaughtering. When do you ever see women rolling around drunk like they do, or gambling every penny they have and losing it on horses? Yes, because a woman, whatever she does, she knows where to stop. Sure, they wouldn't be in the world at all, only for us. They don't know what it is to be a woman and a mother. How could they? Where would they all of them be if they hadn't all a mother to look after them? What I never had. That's why I suppose he's running wild now, out at night, away from his books and studies and not living at home on account of the usual rowy house. I suppose, well, it's a poor case that those that have a fine son like that, they're not satisfied, and I none. Was he not able to make one? It wasn't my fault. We came together when I was watching the two dogs in her behind, in the middle of the naked street. That disheartened me altogether. I suppose I oughtn't to have buried him in that little woolly jacket I knitted, crying as I was. But give it to some poor child. But I knew well I'd never have another. Our first death, too, it was. We were never the same since. Oh, I'm not going to think myself into the glooms about that any more. I wonder why he wouldn't stay the night. I felt all the time it was somebody strange he brought in. Instead of roving around the city, meeting God knows who, night walkers and pickpockets. His poor mother wouldn't like that if she was alive, ruining himself for life. Perhaps still. It's a lovely hour, so silent. I used to love coming home after dances, the air of the night. They have friends they can talk to. We've none either. He wants what he won't get, or it's some woman ready to stick her knife in you. I hate that in women. No wonder they treat us the way we do. We're a dreadful lot of bitches, I suppose. It's all the troubles we have that makes us so snappy. I'm not like that. He could easily have slept in there on the sofa in the other room. I suppose he was as shy as a boy, he being so young, hardly 20. Of me in the next room, he'd have heard me on the chamber around. What harm? Dedalus. I wonder, it's like those names in Gibraltar. De la Paz, De la Grazia. They had the devil's queer names there. Father Villplana of Santa Maria, that gave me the rosary. Rolis, O'Reilly, and the Callalus yet Ruvilta, and Pisimbo. And Mrs. Episso in Governor Street. Oh, what a name. I'd go and drown myself in the first river if I had a name like her. Oh my, and all the bits of streets, Paradise Ramp and Bedlam Ramp and Rogers Ramp and Crutchet's Ramp and the Devil's Gap Steps. Well, small blame to me if I am a harum scarum. I know I am a bit. I declare to God I don't feel a day older than then. I wonder, could I get my tongue round any of the Spanish? Como esto estoy muy bien. Gracias, estoy. See, I haven't forgotten at all. I thought I had, only for the grammar. A noun is the name of any person, place, or thing. Pity I never tried to read that novel Cantankerous Mrs. Rubio lent me by Valero, with the questions in it all upside down the two ways. I always knew it would go in the end. I can tell him the Spanish, and he tell me the Italian, then he'll see I'm not so ignorant. What a pity he didn't stay. I'm sure the poor fellow was dead tired and wanted a good sleep badly. I could have brought him his breakfast in bed, with a bit of toast. So long as I didn't do it on the knife for bad luck, or if the woman was going her rounds with the watercress and something nice and tasty, there were a few olives in the kitchen he might like. I never could bear the look of them in our greens. I could do the criada. The room looks all right since I changed it the other way. You see, something was telling me all the time I'd have to introduce myself, not knowing me from Adam. Very funny, wouldn't it? I'm his wife. Or pretend we were in Spain with him half awake, with a God's notion where he is. Tus huevos estrellados, señor. Lord, the cracked things that come into my head sometimes. Oh, it'd be great fun supposing he stayed with us. Why not? There's the room upstairs empty, and Millie's bed in the back room. He could do his writing and studies at the table in there for all the scribbling he does at it. And if he wants to read in bed in the morning like me, as he's making the breakfast to one, he can make it for two. I'm sure I'm not going to take in lodgers off the street for him if he takes a gazabo of a house like this. Oh, I'd love to have a long talk with an intelligent, well-educated person. I'd have to get a nice pair of red slippers like those Turks with the fez used to sell. Or yellow, and a nice semi-transparent morning gown that I badly want. Or a peach blossom dressing jacket like the one long ago in Walpole's. Only 8-6 or 18-6. I'll just give him one more chance. I'll get up early in the morning. I'm sick of Cohen's old bed in any case. I might go over to the markets to see all the vegetables and cabbages and tomatoes and carrots and all kinds of splendid fruits, all coming in lovely and fresh. Who knows who'd be the first man I'd meet? They're out looking for it in the morning. Mammy Dillon used to say they are. And the night too, that was her mass going. Oh, I love a big juicy pear now to melt in your mouth, like when I used to be in the longing way. Then I'll throw him up his eggs and tea and the moustache cup she gave him to make his mouth bigger. I suppose he'd like my nice cream too. I know what I'll do. I'll go about rather gay, not too much, singing a bit now, and then mi fa pier de masito. And then I'll start dressing myself to go out. Presto non so più forte. I'll put on my best shift and drawers, let him have a good eyeful out of that to make his Mickey stand for him. I'll let him know that if that's what he wanted, that his wife is fucked, yes, and damn well fucked too, up to my neck nearly. Not by him. 5 or 6 times hand runnings. There's the mark of his spunk on the clean sheet. I wouldn't bother to even iron it out. That ought to satisfy him. If you don't believe me, feel my belly. Unless I made him stand there and put him into me. I've a mind to tell him every scrap and make him do it in front of me. Serve him right. It's all his own fault if I am an adulteress, as the thing in the gallery said. Oh, much about it, if that's all the harm ever we did in this vale of tears. God knows it's not much. Doesn't everyone? Only they hide it, I suppose. That's what a woman is supposed to be there for. Or he wouldn't have made us the way he did, so attractive to men. Then if he wants to kiss my bottom, I'll drag open my drawers and bulge it right out in front of his face, as large as life. He can stick his tongue 7 miles up my hole as he's there, my brown part. Then I'll tell him I want £1, or perhaps 30 shillings. I'll tell him I want to buy underclothes. Then if he gives me that, well, he won't be too bad. I don't want to soak it all out of him, like other women do. I could often have written out a fine check for myself and write his name on it for a couple of pounds. A few times he forgot to log it up. Besides, he won't spend it. I'll let him do it off me behind, provided he doesn't smear all over my good drawers. Oh, I suppose that can't be helped. I'll do the indifferent. 1 or 2 questions. I'll know by the answers when he's like that. He can't keep a thing back. I know every turn in him. I'll tighten my bottom well, let out a few smutty words, smell ramp, or lick my shit, or the first mad thing that comes into my head. Then I'll suggest about, yes. Oh, wait now, Sonny, my turn is coming. I'll be quite gay and friendly over it. Oh, but I was forgetting this bloody pest of a thing. Oh, you wouldn't know which to laugh or cry were there such a mixture of plum and apple. No, I'll have to wear the old thing. So much the better. It'll be more pointed. You'll never know whether he did it, nor not. There's that. There, that's good enough for you, any old thing at all. Then I'll wipe him off me just like a business. His omission, then I'll go out. I'll have him eyeing up at the ceiling. Where has she gone now? Make him want me. That's the only way. A quarter after, what an unearthly hour. I suppose they're getting up in China now, combing out their pigtails for the day. We'll soon have nuns ringing the Angelus. They've nobody coming in to spoil their sleep except an odd priest or two for his night office. The alarm clock next door at cockshout, clattering the brains out of itself. Let me see if I can doze off. One, two, three, four, five. What kind of flowers are those that they invented? Like the stars. The wallpaper in Lombard Street was much nicer. The apron he gave me was like that. Something only... I only wore it twice. Better lower this lamp and try again so as I can get up early. I'll go to Lambers there, beside Findlater's, and get them to send us some flowers to put about the place, in case he comes home tomorrow. Today, I mean. No, Friday's an unlucky day. First, I want to do the place up some way. Oh, the dust grows thick in it, I think. While I'm asleep. We can have music and cigarettes. I can accompany him. First, I must clean the keys of the piano with milk. What'll I wear? Shall I wear a white rose? Or those fairy cakes and Lipton's? I love the smell of a big shop at 7.5 shillings or £1. Or the other ones with the cherries in them and the pinky sugar. 11 shillings, a couple of pounds, of course. A nice plant for the middle of the table. I'll get that cheaper in... Wait, where's this? I saw them not long ago. Oh, I love flowers. I'd love to have the whole place swimming in roses, God of heaven. There's nothing like nature. The wild mountains, then the sea and the waves rushing, then the beautiful country with fields of oat and wheat and all kinds of things, and all the fine cattle going about. That would do your heart good, to see rivers and lakes and flowers, all sorts of shapes and smells and colours springing up, even out of the ditches, primrose and violets, nature. It is as for them saying there's no God. I wouldn't give a snap of my 2 fingers for all their learning. Why don't they go and create something? I often asked him, atheists, or whatever they call themselves, go and wash the cobbles off themselves. First they go howling for the priest, and they dying. And why? Why, because they're afraid of hell on account of their bad conscience. Ah, yes, I know them well. Who was the first person in the universe, before there was anybody that made it all? Who, they don't know. Neither do I, so there you are. They might as well try to stop the sun from rising tomorrow. The sun shines for you, he said, the day we were lying among the rhododendrons on Howarth Head in the grey tweed suit and his straw hat. The day I got him to propose to me, yes. First I gave him the bit of seed cake out of my mouth, and it was leap year. Like now, yes, 16 years ago. My God, after that long kiss I near lost my breath. Yes, he said, I was a flower of the mountain. Yes, so we are flowers, all a woman's body. Yes, that was one true thing he said in his life. And the sun shines for you today. Yes, that was why I liked him. Because I saw he understood or felt what woman is, and I knew I could always get round him, and I gave him all the pleasure I could, leading him on till he asked me to say yes, and I wouldn't answer first, only looked out over the sea and the sky. I was thinking of so many things he didn't know, of Mulvey and Mr. Stanhope and Hester and Father and old Captain Groves and the sailors playing All Birds Fly and I Say Stoop. and washing up dishes, they called it on the pier. And the sentry in front of the governor's house with the thing around his white helmet. Poor devil, half roasted. And the Spanish girls laughing in their shawls and their tall combs, and the auctions in the morning, the Greeks and the Jews and the Arabs. And the devil knows who else, from all the ends of Europe and Duke Street. And the fowl market all clucking outside Larby Sharon's. And the poor donkeys slipping half asleep. And the vague fellows in the cloaks, asleep in the shade on the steps, and the big wheels of the carts of the bulls, and the old castle, thousands of years old, yes, and those handsome Moors all in white, and turbans like kings asking you to sit down in their little bit of a shop, and yonder, with the old windows of the Posadas, glancing eyes, a lattice hid for her lover to kiss the iron, and the wine shops half open at night, and the castanets, and the night we missed the boat at Algeciras, the watchman going about serene with his lamp, and oh, that awful deep down torrent, oh, and the sea crimson sometimes like fire, and the glorious sunsets, and the fig trees in the Alameda Gardens, yes, and all the queer little streets of pink, and blue and yellow houses, and the rose gardens, and the jessamine and geraniums and cactuses, and Gibraltar as a girl where I was flower of the mountain, yes, where I put the rose in my hair like the Andalusian girls used, or shall I wear a red, yes, and how he kissed me, under the Moorish wall, and I thought, well, as well him as another. And I asked him with my eyes to ask me again. Yes. And then he asked me, would I yes to say yes, my mountain flower? And first I put my arms around him. Yes. And drew him down to me so he could feel my breasts all perfume. Yes. And his heart was going like mad. And yes. I said yes. I will yes.